I want him to come first in everything. How about you? Everything, everything. Whatever he values, I want to discover that, and I want to commit myself to doing that. We discovered last week as we looked at Matthew chapter 5 that God values relationships. And if there are broken relationships, he wants you to do everything within your power to amend those relationships, to be reconciled with those people. He even says if you come to church on Sunday and you remember that you have a broken relationship, hey, go take care of that first, then come back and finish your worship. Because worshiping God vertically has everything to do with relationships horizontally. Truth be known, you can tell a whole lot about where you're at with God if you just look at where you're at with each other. And the opposite is true. When you're together with God, your relationships horizontally will look a certain way. I want to continue that theme. Last week we talked about broken relationships. Today we want to talk about healthy relationships because that's what God has called us. There's a lot of dysfunction in the world, isn't there? A lot of dysfunctional people. I'm dysfunctional. I come from a dysfunctional family. I think all of us come from a dysfunctional family. Call it sin-based nature. We are all fallen. We all are broken. We need to have God put us back together again. I'm not here because I've got it all together. I'm here because I want God to put me back together again. So if you're broken today and you've got some pieces missing, you should fit in with all of us because we're just basket cases, many of us. And we are banking on the fact that he's going to have mercy. And his grace. When you stumble, I know we are caught in his grace. And I just depend upon that a whole lot. So we want to look at healthy relationships. And the way that you have healthy relationships is you begin to live out the second commandment, which is a top priority for God. How many of you know what the second commandment is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. Say it with me. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39 is the verse that we'll look at. He says, the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Say it again. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're my neighbor, so I've got to love you. Whether I want to or not. Now, I'd like to dissect that verse with you a bit. And in order to do that, I've asked seven people to join me on the platform and kind of have a forum today, just kind of talk back and forth about this scripture. So I'm going to ask them to come. And as they come, I'm going to tell you what God told me with regards to Super Bowl teams. Now, listen. Arizona Cardinals or Pittsburgh Steelers aren't my team of choice. The New England Patriots, don't throw stones, but the New England Patriots are my team, and they didn't make it this year. And but I do like this Super Bowl. I will watch. I think it's about 3 o'clock. And so I've been praying and seeking God, and I felt like I don't have a prophetic word for you, but I have some verses that God gave me. So I will let you determine, okay, what they are. Here's the verse Ezekiel 32:4 came to my mind. It says this, God is speaking, I will throw you on the ground and toss you in an open field. I will make the birds perch on you and feed on you. I'm not going to interpret that for you, but, you know, it's what I kind of feel like the Lord's saying to me about this game. He even likens himself to a bird, he says in Psalms 102:6, I am like a wild bird in the desert. Ephesians 4:28 says, if a person is a stealer, he must stop stealing and start working, must use his hands for something good. So I'm going to let you draw your conclusions as to who you think is going to win today, but I think it's pretty clear what God says in his scripture. You know I only jest. Man, you guys taking all the room. You're not giving me any place to stand here. Okay, I'll stand over here. Love your neighbor as yourself. We'll start it off. What does that mean? What is that saying? There's three things that we're told. Short verse, three things. We're told what to do, who to do it to, and how to do it. What are we supposed to do? Love people. Who are we supposed to do it to? Our neighbor. And how are we supposed to do it? As we love ourselves. So take it away. Tell us what's your interpretation of that. If you had to paraphrase it, put it in your own words, what's Jesus saying to us in that verse?
Well, one of the first things that I think of is it's not all about me. And that's kind of hard sometimes because I like it to be all about me. But it's not all about me. And just thinking about treating other people the way that I want to be treated. And I've learned that since I was a little girl. But I have to take it back also to that first commandment of first love God. Because I think without first loving God, I'm not sure that I'm able to love other people and treat them the way that God would have me treat them.
By the way, where does the accent come from?
I'm not telling.
You're not telling? Why don't you introduce yourselves to I should do that for everybody here today. Okay. Danny and Karen.
I'm Karen Gilbert, and this accent is from Tennessee.
They've been transferred.
Don't have an accent, but if I did, it would be from Tennessee by way of Alabama.
There's Roger Watson, one of the pastors. That's my pretty little wife right there. She was sitting on a short stool. We changed that this time.
I felt like I was sitting on the floor.
She's kind of
so
short anyway, so we thought
I'd
give her a taller stool. And then we have the couple down there. Who are you? How did you get
Adam
up here?
Adam and Amy Medeiros.
They've been a part of their elders in the church and just wonderful people. Okay, continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Hey, can I just share, Tim? Yeah. When somebody says, I need to love my neighbor, I need to love, I think we have to be on the same page of what love is. We have to have the same definition of what love is. Scripture talks about four different kinds of love. The first type of love that's talked about is eros type of love. It's where we get the word erotic from. I think a Song of Solomon is full of erotic type love. Okay, and there is a place where I need to have that kind of love, but it's for my wife. And we can get into real trouble when you begin to express that kind of love by looking at pictures on the internet or looking at, and you stir that kind of love up, it can be very destructive. Okay, I just got to put that word in for especially the guys, okay, because it seems that men have that struggle. So there's that eros type of love. There's also a type of love called storge. It's the type of love I have for my grandkids. It's the type of love I have for my children. It's a nurturing sort of love. It has lots of emotions in it, that nurturing type of love. There is a phileo type of love. It's a friendship type of love that we have with one another. It also has some emotions, not quite as intense and deep as the storge type. But then there's a fourth type of love, which is agape. Agape love is God's love, okay? It is a love that is always seeking to give for the well-being of the other person. So when someone comes into my office, and I'm also a marriage and family therapist, and they tell me, well, I just don't love my spouse anymore, I tell them, well, then choose to. Because love is a choice. It's not a feeling. That agape type of love is something that you choose to do. And so when I love my neighbor, they may not always be easy to love, but I can still choose to love them with agape type of love. So I think we got to be on page as to what we're talking about in love. And this particular verse is agape love.
Yes, it does.
God's love.
Yeah. There will be other places in Scripture where different Greek words are used, but that's the word that's used here. Yeah.
I think... And then to take it the next step, that defining a neighbor would be anybody in your life, anybody that God has brought into your path, someone near you. When I would first hear that verse, I always think of my loved ones, love my neighbor, my buddies, my family, those that are around me. But I think neighbor goes beyond friends and family to people you wouldn't necessarily choose to have in your life, but God has just brought them in, whether it's physical neighbor, someone living next door across the street, or someone at work, someone you run across, but anyone that comes into your path, I believe the Lord's saying that those are the ones. We are to love anyone he brings into our lives at whatever capacity.
Yeah, he redefines that in Luke 10. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you know the story, it's, you know, the Samaritan is kind of the hero of the story. And for the Jews were enemies with the Samaritans for hundreds of years, and they didn't consider them to be their neighbors. And Jesus says, this is your neighbor. And not only, you know, those that can be your enemies, they are your neighbors. And kind of like you said, anybody who you encounter in your life is your neighbor.
And loving them as ourselves. You know, we can say, oh, well, I don't love myself. Yeah, you do. You spend time on yourself. I'm loving myself by, I put my makeup on this morning, so I'd look a little nicer for you guys. But it's, if we will dote on ourselves, all of our money and all of our time, God's telling us that's what we need to do. Love others as you love yourself. That means they deserve time. They need time. They may need your finances. They need your heart. They need all of who you are. So when he calls us to love them as ourselves, look at how you love yourself. You feed yourself, you clothe yourself, hopefully you bathe yourself. But those things that you do for yourself, those are the things that you want to do for those around you, those that come across your path to meet those needs.
Yeah, yeah. So neighbors are really anybody that God chooses to cross your path. So technically, I guess we don't get really to pick and choose who we love. I didn't get to pick and choose who my mom and dad were. I didn't get to pick and choose what family I was birthed into. So we don't really get to pick and choose who we love. And I think it's wrong for us to think that we can love everybody. I don't have the capacity to love everybody, but I can love anybody. And I think that's what this text is saying, is anyone who crosses your path, because the word neighbor means close, someone in close proximity. That means the guy who rear-ends you at the stoplight. He didn't stop in time. And he dents your brand new car. All of a sudden, you've got to love that person, this neighbor. Now, there are some people that are easy to love. Is that true? Uh-huh. I mean, I'm a real easy person to love. I'm real lovable, aren't I?
Most of the time.
Well, in my early years of marriage, Donna would have said, absolutely not. I'm not.
I had to choose.
Shut up, woman. But when you think of the easy people for you to love, what is it about them? Think of someone that you really have an easy time loving.
He
what
loves
is it
me
about?
Is what it is. I have the easy man to love, but it's because he loves me. He's good to me, and all those characteristics of loving someone else as yourself. Adam extends those to me, my comfort. He wants to see me become a better person and to be closer to the Lord and to achieve what God's called me to do. And I think that sometimes someone who really loves you is someone who wants the best for you. And of course, those are the people that are the easiest to love, are the ones that love you first.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's a giver and you're a taker, and you guys really match. Is that what you're saying? What a combination, you know?
I think, too, it's those people that there's a give and take. You know, because there are people who would just take from you, and you don't get anything back as far as relationship. But those people that there's a sharing, you can give and take as far as sharing your life, your heart, and you hear their goals and their life. Those are very easy people usually to love because there's an interaction.
When there's a common interest, when you're doing something of the same nature, it's easy to love that person. One of the people that stands out in my mind that used to be a member here, he's now deceased, was Gary Woolwine. You remember Gary used to be out greeting people, but he also was a facilitator in our personal growth groups. He had a heart to help people through their addictions and compulsions, and he had this inner desire. It was easy for me to love him because that's where my heart is. We have this common interest together, so that's one of the factors.
Now, Danny, you know, I met you a few months ago, and you come across to me like a person that's easy to like. I mean, I have found it easy to like. Now, I'm not going to ask you your opinion about me.
I am.
You are. That goes without saying, doesn't it? Do you have someone in your life that's easy to love? And what is it about them that draws you to them?
Well, you know, of course, first off would be my wife. Mm.
You and I married up, by the way.
Yes, we're outside of our scope. But I think about, somebody said commonality. I think those that have shown and in my life, whether it be out of their love for me or their love for Christ, there are a lot of people that are in an intimate not a lot of people. There are people that are in an intimate relationship over the years with us. And it's people that we've ministered with, people that we have served with, people that we have gone through some trying times with, and people that are willing to give of their life, blood, sweat, tears. Those are the people that we find easy to love. Reciprocating those things become a lot easier when someone has done that first.
The ones that are moving in the same direction, right, in the same vein as you are. Jeff, did you want to say something or not?
No.
No, okay. Thanks for sharing that with us, Jeff. That
a lot of insight nice. Right there. I echo what Danny said.
Well, I not only echo it, it's true, but I have a problem that, you know, it's a little broader. I don't have a problem loving anybody. I love almost everybody I meet, and I like everybody. And it actually becomes a problem is because a lot of times I'll be given my opinion, and I've had a sister say, yeah, but that doesn't matter. You like everybody. You know, I said, no, I really like this guy. He's cool. And no, but you like everybody. And so God has given me that ability to love people, and it's been a blessing to me in my business, my profession, and my church life. I've been blessed with the ability to love. And so I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, and it's wonderful. And then there's always the checks and balances that go with it. But
now, does that mean you always have ooey-gooey feelings towards everybody? You always, oh, I love you so much. And is that what
no,
it means?
No, I'll guarantee you that is not it. And those of you that know me, it usually means if I really love you, I'm going to be a little bit more blunt with you, and I'm going to be a little bit more, these are the facts, and this is how it is. I think loving people isn't about just agreeing with them and nodding your head with everything that's going on. I think loving people sometimes, as we see in Scripture, when we see Jesus addressing different people in the Bible, a lot of what he addresses is kind of harsh and kind of correcting, because he's looking to change the inner man. And I think as we need to look at what true love is wanting the best for that other person. And when you want the best, sometimes it takes a little correction. It takes, you know, guiding them the right way.
So when he says love your neighbor as yourself, he's not saying you have to have good feelings for everybody all the time and sloppy agape. You need to understand that there'll be times where there's tough love too.
Absolutely. And I think tough love, Tim, is defined with, is it the truth?
Yeah.
You know, being the truth and delivering, you know, God's word as the ultimate truth is your guideline. And yeah, then I think that's the limit of tough love. I think people have taken tough love to the extremes and they just want to be mean.
Yeah.
But no, if it's not in love and it's not, you know, based on God's word, then it's gone overboard.
Now we've established the fact that there are easy people to love. How many of you out there have easy people to love? You like to be around them. Now, is your tendency like mine? I like to hang around my type of people. I find my type of people, and that's who I associate with, and I don't go outside of those boundaries. Is that damaging to us? Anyone?
Well, I think that, yeah, we hang out with those that we like, but I think it's impossible to avoid people that are difficult.
Yeah.
Because I think in life, I mean, you are going to encounter people that are difficult. You can try to avoid them, and you might be successful at some measure, but you will encounter them, whether it be at the grocery store or in the workplace. We will encounter difficult people. The question is, how are we going to react? And Jesus tells us, he doesn't tell us, hey, avoid difficult people, flee from difficult people. What does he tell us to do? He says, love difficult people and even pray for them. In Matthew 5, verse 43, he says, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I tell you what, if you can learn how to pray for those, and I think enemies, there's a strong word that a lot of us don't identify with, but if we kind of loosen that up a little bit and just think of people that rub me the wrong way, people that I have a tough time with, people that I find difficult. And if you start praying for those people, you'll find yourself not only trying to stay away from them, but you'll actually find yourself, I think, drawn to them and connecting with them. And if you're praying for somebody, it's hard to find them as a nuisance if you're really praying for them genuinely.
So this simple fact is complicated now in the sense that it'd be easy to fulfill this if everybody was lovable, but everybody's not lovable, so we have some difficult people here. Are you going to say something, Karen?
Yes, I also think about the verse of Scripture where it talks about as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, and a sharpening process is not an easy process. That's not a comfortable process. It's when you're sharpening a blade, you're rubbing it against something that is coarse, that is harsh, And sometimes God uses these difficult people, people that may rub us the wrong way, to actually sharpen us and to grow us. And so if we avoid them, we're also avoiding an opportunity to be sharpened and to grow spiritually.
Yeah, Danny.
I think in line with that, we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves, and our neighbors are people around us, for the most part, we think about those that dwell in the same commonality area, that walk the way we walk, that think the way we think. Isaiah 54, it talks about stretching out the curtains of our dwelling place. It's easy when we just love the easy people. Mm-hmm. We are able to do ministry. I think it's loving those that, as we stretch out the curtains of our dwelling place, to the left, to the right, increasing those the number of people that do become our neighbors, that enables spiritual maturity. That enables us to grow, and it enables us to love as Jesus loved, to share the gospel not only with those that may hear us, but maybe share with those that may not want to hear us.
Yeah.
I want to give an example of somebody that might be difficult to love. After the first service, I had a woman that came up, and she told me, she said, my husband and I are separated right now. He's had multiple affairs and wants to continue having those affairs, but still wants to be married. But I still want to be able to go out and say, how do you love that person? That was her question. How do I love him when he wants to continue to go off and do these things? Remember, love is what is in the best interest of the other person. I told her, I don't know just bringing him back in the house and saying, oh, it's wonderful, I accept you for who you are, and you can go out. I don't believe that's in his best interest. Sometimes love, it's not an easy formula, A plus B equals C. Sometimes the situations are real difficult. For this woman, you really got to discern the heart of God and walk by the peace of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's always peace. And for her, I don't know that just bringing him back into the house, and I'm sure that there are some out here who have spouses that are off doing things they shouldn't be doing. And should I just give a blessing to what they're doing and bring it? I don't know that that's love, God's love. I think that's enabling them to be destructive. Yeah. So there are some real difficult situations. It's hard to love people, but God's love will always be led and give you a peace, and always seeks to reconcile. But not necessarily does it always to reconcile with you, but it is to reconcile with God. That's the motive of our love. It's got to be to reach out to reconcile to God.
When God loved us, he took us out of sin. And now, because of our relationship, he's helping us now to get sin out of us. It's one thing to come out of sin and then to get sin out of us. But if you're going to have a relationship that's healthy, you have to have a willingness to get rid of that sin that's in you, too. Does that make sense? Yeah. Donna?
Just to put it in a short sentence, love always drives us to our knees. Mm. Always. It will, whether it's for someone else or for ourselves, love truly will drive us to our knees, to where we hear God's voice and what he's saying to us. Not what anybody else is saying, but what he's saying to us to do. And he gives us wisdom and understanding to carry out what he tells us.
So as we follow him and seek his desires, and we say, God, I want to fulfill this passage of Scripture, to love my neighbor as myself. Okay, God, I'll start with the easy people. I'll start loving them. Okay, then you cross over and you say, okay, now there's some difficult people in my life. And do any of you, well, maybe you don't want to raise your hand, but are any of you, did you purchase a home, or have you ever purchased a home or lived in a place where your neighbors drive you crazy? Your neighbors can either make or break, you know, where you're living, depending upon them. Roger, you had a neighbor one time, and I think I told you the story probably a couple months ago, but I think it's worth telling again.
I hope my neighbor's not here.
I hope so, too.
I don't know what I did to upset my neighbor, but he had some real spite in upset. He was cleaning his backyard and cutting brush and whatever, and he took that brush and he threw it over the fence into my yard. And I'm talking piles of brush that took, you know, several dumpsters to empty. And so my initial reaction is I wanted to bless him with a brick, you know. Throw it back over the fence and see how he likes it. But then I started thinking, no, you need to reach out in love, okay? And so what I did is I went and I got my leaf blower, and I went over into his yard, and I blew all the leaves from his front yard into my yard. And so he didn't quite know what to do with that. How do you respond to that? He was expecting me to throw the stuff back into his yard. I went out and did the exact opposite and blew the leaves, his leaves, into my yard.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you. I'm not there quite yet, but maybe one day I'll be there. There's arrogant people. There's demeaning people, mean-spirited, pessimistic, argumentative, closed, opinionated, critical, picky, manipulative, hypocrites. I mean, there's all different types of people. You guys must have some difficult people in your lives. So what do you do to love them? What are some things that have helped you to love people? I have a few in my own life. I had a guy sit across from me in a coffee shop, Starbucks, about 2 years ago, and just told me everything I wasn't doing and what I should be doing, in his opinion. And I had to, in order to love that man, I just had to, as he was talking, I just smiled and say, God, I thank you for this brother. I mean, I'm praying as he's talking, thank you that he's you're going to use this to shape me and make me a man. You're going to, and so I just began to thank God for him and began to pray for him. And that really is one thing that I've had to do at times with difficult people. What about some of you, Donald?
Well, I was just thinking, you know, it's like Scripture says we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers. And whenever a difficult person comes, and there's been some that have come to me, I have to look at them when they are, you know, like in my face like this, I have to realize that many times they are reacting out of hurts, they're reacting out of woundedness, brokenness, they're reacting out of their childhood, and I have to realize it's not about me. It's not towards me. It many times is the Jesus in me that they're reacting to. And I can begin to love them by looking beyond what they're doing to why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And that begins to give me a compassion for them that I've never had before. Mm. And I begin to see them with new eyes.
I wish I had said that.
Well, yeah, I'm going to say that to look smart. That. Yeah. I would say, you know, that ability to have compassion and empathy for others, I think that I have a tendency to look at other people and judge them according to where I'm at. And, I mean, I've been richly blessed by God. I've known Jesus for a long time. And sometimes we can expect things from people that aren't fair to expect from them. And that's not to say that, you know, there's a place for it, you know, when you become enabling and there's a place to expect people to grow. But generally that I judge people based upon where I'm at in life. And just that's not fair sometimes. And the ability to empathize with people and their past history and where they're coming from and that ability to put yourself in their shoes, it really is that is what compassion means. And to understand, you know, there is a whole history here. And man, if people don't know Jesus, what do we expect from them? And I'm called to love them and not to avoid them or criticize them or judge them. And so just that ability to empathize with people and where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And you know, talking about empathy, one of the things that comes to mind for me is a scripture that's found in James. And it talks about being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. So one of the things that I find is if I try to listen more to really understand where they're coming from and not be so quick to want to give my opinion and my thoughts and make my needs known, that aids in the empathy and just aids in seeing them in a different way.
Real practical thing that I get out of Romans 12, it says, if your enemy is hungry, not just your neighbor, and so, but the person you just don't like, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. A practical thing you can do, you may feel like responding one way, but you can choose to respond in a way that's God-honoring. That you won't do that feeling like it. It's something you have to choose.
And that's probably why the first commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, strength, and soul. It's because if you're not connected to him, you really can't do that. I don't think that commandment number two can actually happen unless you have an ongoing, solid relationship with God, because that's the power. I mean, when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love is patient, love is kind, love never remembers any wrongs, it's always cheerful and it's always this and that, you'll find out that you can't do that without God. You've got to have that connection with God. Loving difficult people is our calling. Amy.
And it's God's love working through us. We're loving. Hello. We're loving people with the love that we've received. God loved us first, and it's His love that then we're extending out to others. And I think we need to make a distinction. You know, we're saying, you know, difficult people, but sometimes we consider people being difficult that are really just different.
That's right.
They're not necessarily mean and hateful and spiteful and out to destroy us, but their communication tactics are different. They have different ways of expressing themselves, and sometimes we can kind of shrink back from something that's different because it's unfamiliar, it's uncomfortable. And I think the Lord would have us pay attention to those individuals, because those are the ones that can stretch us and like she said, you know, sharpen us. We'll be better for it, and we'll be a greater expression of Christ's love when we can love those that annoy us and irritate us and find beauty in them, because they too are a child of God, and they too are created in the image of God. And so there's obviously beauty and love, something to love in that individual. And I think it helps us to be bigger and broader people when we can love those that are different as well as difficult.
And I don't think we need to seek difficult people out, right?
They're there. You know, they'll find. Like they'll find. They're there.
I wanted to grow so much in the early years in the Lord, and I was told that you can't grow unless you have problems. So I used to pray for problems. And you don't have to pray for that.
No, I never
had to
do that.
So you don't have to really seek out difficult people. But when they come across your path, they become your neighbor. Yeah. And that's the challenge. And I think this week we're going to have some divine appointments. You know, because we've talked about it, God's going to send you out, and you're going to come into contact with some people that you might want to avoid or might want to do your own thing. And that's the challenge that we have is, God, this is not just for me to love them, but for you to love me and change me as I come into contact with them. Is that, you tracking with me? You have something, Jeff or Danny?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a sentence in the Bible that Jesus says. It's found in Matthew 7. He says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. And, you know, I've spent some time studying ethics and philosophy, and there's this whole history of people coming up with these ethical theories of how we should behave and right and wrong action. And Jesus gives us this really simple yet incredibly profound statement about how we should interact with those around us and what determines right and wrong action. And he says, man, how you would want to be treated, that's how you should treat someone else. And if you want to be respected, you need to respect others. If you want people to be patient with you, you need to be patient with others. If you want to be loved, you need to love others. And it's such a simple, yet such a profound statement that really should guide much of what we do. And I'll tell you that it's not easy. It's not always easy. And it really does take discipline and intentionality. I have to make myself do it sometimes, right? Because in the heat of the moment, you know, if I have time to weigh the options and think over it and process it, maybe I'll come out to that conclusion. But most of the times interacting with difficult people, it's in the moment. And there's that real character development that happens that I have to get to a place where that comes hopefully out of me naturally. But it really does take will and determination sometimes. And
Danny,
the grace of God.
Danny, you're trying to say something. Danny? Then Adam.
In considering the people that are the type of people that are hard for me to love, by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, not by me, but by the Holy Spirit, I start to realize that they are not so different than I am.
Yeah.
They are sinners in need of God's grace today. And that's me. That's me. I start seeing that the things that they are displaying that really bring out displeasure in me, that bring out the ugly man, the fleshly man, those are the things that I find within myself that I have those fleshly tendencies to do. And if God has forgiven me, if God is giving me instruction in my life how to overcome this by his presence, then I've got to look at them with different eyes and see that God's grace is available for them just as it is for me.
Yeah.
Now, I just want to echo what Jeff said in that scripture. It's something that I've used in my life as long as I've been a Christian, and that is, you know, if that was you, would you like that done to you? You know, and so many times I've had situations and finances where I've blessed somebody, and, you know, and Amy has, you know, questioned me and said, you know, well, why did you do that? And I go, well, if it was me in their situation, that's what I would want to have done. And so when you live by that, it really changes your focus in life. If you can put yourself in that situation and say, wow, if that was me, how would I want to be treated? And then treat people that way. Because you will receive what you give out. And God has blessed me that way. But it's been a lifelong thing. I've told it to my kids. I said, how would you want to be treated in that situation? And it really brings it to life. It's a wonderful scripture.
Well, whether it's desirable people or difficult people or just people who are different than us, we are commanded to love our neighbors. And that's some of our neighbors. Some of the people you're going to meet this week, next week, next month, is going to fall into those categories. And out of those love relationships, there are going to be relationships that develop. Last question, and all of you can answer, just one or two or three of you. What are some keys for a healthy relationship? Because in loving our neighbor, we're becoming more and more healthy ourselves if we do it God's way. What are some keys to healthy relationships?
I think it's been said a few times, but that closeness with God, you know, that I have to be discerning how God is calling me, because different situations, there'll be a different answer to in a loving way. I think of a friend of mine who was going through a divorce, and she felt like it was that God really laid it on her heart in the midst of the divorce, and she was trying to reconcile. I mean, her heart was in the right place, but her husband just was not. And in the legal proceeding, she just felt like God stirred her to just let her hands go and kind of say, hey, all the equity in the house is yours. And kind of from the verse that was, you know, if someone asks for your cloak, give them your tunic too. Or if, I don't know if it's flip-flopped, I'm not great with my first century Roman garmentry, but whichever way it goes. But you know that when they ask something, you go above and beyond that. And so she felt like God had really imparted that to her, and so she did that. But for other people who do that, that could come from a spirit of spite, right? Just have it. I'm done with you. Forget it. And there's like a spiteful spirit there. And so I think that closeness with God and how He's leading you to respond in a loving way is really, really key.
My wife and I have a lot better relationship when I'm with Jesus a whole lot.
I'm currently reading a book called How to Live Like an Adult in Relationships, and the author talks about five A's that are needed. Attention, giving attention to those people, giving undivided attention, not looking at other things or busy, giving them undivided attention. We need to do that. There needs to be appreciation. The things that they are doing, acknowledging that and appreciating that, okay? The third A is affirmation, affirming what you see in them, the godly qualities that you see in them, okay? Attention, affection, appreciation, I can't remember. There's the
affirmation,
affirming them. But one that's real difficult is allowing. That we need to allow the people to become who God has created them to be and not just micromanage them so tightly that we don't give them the freedom to move and to grow and to be. We've got to give them some growing room there, and that's that concept of allowing. Those A's are needed to practical ways to build relationships.
And just in allowing, you don't have to agree with everybody to love them, and you won't. I know in Acts chapter 15, they're right toward the end, you know, Paul and Barnabas are having this disagreement where, you know, Paul wants to go to a certain place and Barnabas thinks it should be somewhere else with certain people, and Paul doesn't want to take him. And they choose to go their own way. They decide, okay, hey, you go with God. They both ended up serving God, but they decided to go their own way. So don't think that love is just agreeing and being a jellyfish that you just flow with everything that everybody says. It's knowing that you've heard from God and going that direction. And then sometimes it's not, I don't say you want to offend people, but you won't agree with them, and you can bless them and say, you know what, go with God and do what you feel God has called you to do. I'm going where God has felt He's called me to do.
I think another key is trusting God and not trying to put all of our trust in another person. Because when we trust God, when we trust Him that He's going to take care of us no matter what, we trust Him to protect us, we trust Him to defend us, it allows us to be more open. It allows us to invite people into our life that we might be fearful of, or that we're afraid they're going to harm us or hurt us in some way. But when we're trusting Him, when our trust is in Him, then we can allow other people in. We can have a more open approach to life.
And I really think, too, that we need to realize in a relationship, what of Jesus can I give this person? What in me that Jesus has placed in me do I need to give to them? We always, because relationship really should be based upon who Jesus is and how He lives in us and how I can give Him to you. So we really need to be sensitive to, what of Jesus do you need? What can I give you of Jesus?
Yeah. Relationships are not just in the moment. We're talking about relationships, and we're talking about giving and taking. The scripture was said a while ago that Jesus said, you have heard it said that to love your neighbor, but I tell you to love your enemy, and here comes the clincher, and pray for him. How many of us truly take the time, whether it's our neighbors, our enemies, our politicians, our pastors, our wives, how many of us take the time when someone does rub us the wrong way, and God, we realize that God has put us in this place. How many of us go to our knees and spend quality time with the Father praying for the people that rub us the wrong way?
Yeah. Okay. Lord, help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Take the expectations off. That's a key for me. You know, I don't know if you've ever had people want to be your friend, but you don't necessarily want to be their friend. Sometimes we want relationships to be more than they are, and just to let them be what they're created to be is really a releasing thing. If I relate to people, I try to take the expectations off, and when I do, a relationship seems to flow so much better. This past week, I met with my son. I told you a couple of weeks ago that my son called me up and wanted to meet once a week to kind of pray together and to study together and seek the Lord. So we started a couple of weeks ago, and last Thursday I said, hey, why don't we go through this book? It was a book that I had. It's called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Have any of you ever read that book? John Ortberg. It's a great book, but if you're going to walk on water, you have to, first of all, get it. Don't be a boat potato. You've got to get out of the boat, because you're never going to walk on water if you don't. So I gave him the book, and I said, okay, well, I'll just order myself another one, and it'll come in with 3 or 4 days. So I got on Amazon.com, ordered 3 books, and ordered this book in particular, and I saw that it was only $4.95, and I thought, wow, $4.95, because all the other places on Amazon, other shops that were selling it, were like $14 and $15, and this was a hardcover book, and I thought, oh, great, I'll just order it from this company. So I ordered the books, got them, opened up my books, and this is what I received.
He didn't read the fine print.
I was expecting to get the full book, and it got kind of a mini book. It has every chapter in it, but it only takes certain excerpts out of the chapters. And somewhere in the fine print it says it's a mini version. So my expectations were totally shot. I think the more that we can release relationships to God and let Him make them into what He wants them to be. I know that worked for my marriage. For the first 2 or 3 years, I was trying to make Donna into what I wanted her to be. And it just caused nothing but problems. It just actually was separating us. And our marriage was on the rocks back in the early 70s. And the Lord awakened me one day. I don't mean specifically in the morning, but I had this understanding that as long as I'm trying to make her into what I want her to be, she can never be what God has created her to be for me. And once I released that to Him, I was able to grow, and our marriage was able to survive, and now it's able to thrive. Well, listen, God wants this commandment to be fulfilled. And so I want to pray for that, because this year we're making first things first. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to seek His kingdom. Seek ye first His kingdom, Matthew 6:33. And today we're going to seek to love our neighbors as ourselves. So I'd like to have a couple of people pray for us. And I think we should, first of all, pray that God will help us develop a relationship with Him. Donna, could you do that for me? Would you pray that God would help us as a congregation continue to fall in love with Him over and over and over again? You may be here today, and maybe you've left your first love. You've gotten away from God, and God wants to bring you back, because your relationships are breaking down horizontally and you have no strength unless you're connected vertically. So Donna, would you ask just to help us? And then I'm going to ask Amy, would you mind praying for us two ladies today as we conclude? Just say, God, help us to fulfill this commandment. It's the second greatest commandment of all the commandments. The Pharisees, the scribes, they took the Ten Commandments and made over 600 commandments. They complicate everything. Religious people always complicate things. You want to simplify stuff, go to Jesus. What do you say about all these commandments, Jesus? Well, let me give you two. Love God, love people. Simple as that. Stand with me. Let's pray. Why don't we just join hands since we're talking about neighbors? Would you join hands and let's pray and ask God to do these things. And Donna, you go first and then Amy, you can go second.
Lord, I bring every person in this room before your throne. And I pray that just now, that you would begin to open hearts. Because only you can do that. Only you can change our hearts. Only you can make us new. And you promised that you would do that in your word. You said you would take out the hearts of stone and you would replace them with soft hearts. Hearts that are obedient and hearts that are willing. I pray that there would be that holy exchange right now. That we would learn to love you. Love you as you love us. Lord, that's not possible for us to do it ourselves, and you never expected us to do it on our own. So you sent the Holy Spirit to work in us and to cleanse us and to bring back your words to our memory. I pray that we would fall in love with you all over again, that we would see your loving kindness in a new light, that we would see many times, sometimes these hard things that have come into our life, it's so that we would look up. It's so that we would reach out to you because you are our only source. We have no place else to go but to you. And so, Lord, you want to fill each and every person here today. You want to give them a revelation of your love, a revelation of who you are and how you have come to bring life and to bring wholeness. So, Lord, let us fall in love with you all over again so that we will see a new facet of who you are. Lord, change our hearts and change our minds. Let us perceive who you are in a right way. Thank you, Lord. Do that now.
Father, I thank you that as you love us, you fill our hearts with your love, your perfect, unconditional love, then we are able to extend it to those around us, those that you have brought into our lives and into our paths. Father, we can pour out your love, that we can be that vessel that just pours out the love of God, that unconditional love of God to others. And Father, even those of us that have been the difficult ones, Lord, I know I have been one of those that have been difficult to love. And Father, I just thank you that you just bring our hearts around, that corporately we would all be a body who loves, that we would be known by our love, that we would be known by your love, and as we extend it to those around us. And I pray, Father, that we would have eyes to see those difficult ones in our lives, that we can see them with your eyes, that we could see the love you have for them, that you would show us how much you adore the one we despise, Father, that we can love them and walk in that grace and walk in that mercy, that we can truly, Lord, be your representatives here on earth as we love those that you have brought to us in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Well, listen, if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, please, some elders, some prayer teams are going to come down a moment and just come on down. Let us pray for you and let's go and love our neighbors this year. God bless you today. Elders, prayer teams, please come down. Someone's need prayer. Pray for them today.